this is one of those yes and questions. You need to have both because you have two fundamentally different types of software in your enterprise, and you need to be able to manage them both well.
Hello, hello, and welcome to SaaS Me Unfiltered, the SaaS management podcast. The show with give it to you straight, real life advice from pros knee deep in SaaS every single day. SaaS management superheroes just like you. It's long been known that software asset management tools excel at managing on-premise software. Meanwhile, SaaS management platforms uncover the invisible, including long-tail SaaS applications, shadow IT, and hidden risks. At Xylo, our customers have created their best-in-class software management programs using both tools in tandem. To help us uncover the magic behind using a SAM tool and a SaaS management platform, I'm excited to bring a friendly face back to the show. Jason Owens, the Senior Director of Global ITAM at Salesforce. Jason and I had a lot of fun discussing this topic recently on the keynote stage at SaaS Me 24. I'm really excited specifically to have Jason with us today. He is one of the foremost thought leaders in the SaaS management space and has a leading edge perspective on SaaS management and how it should be run. Don't laugh. Don't be shy, Jason. That's exactly you. When you think about Salesforce today, Salesforce was the first cloud technology in the enterprise. And as such, they scaled before every other tech-forward organization or legacy or industry vertical, and they've built their infrastructure operating model primarily around software as a service. So they have experienced SaaS challenges at scale before any other company in any space or vertical.
I completely agree that the challenges of managing SaaS applications at the company that invented SaaS applications can be difficult on every day that ends in Y.
You're absolutely right there. You know, for those listening, pay close attention. Jason's conversation is strategic in nature, but also laced with execution and the overall perspective of SaaS management within a scaling enterprise. Jason, I'd love to start off before we kind of get through that Salesforce journey of yours and walk through how that's evolved over time. We'd really love to understand the SAM persona. Part of our audience has SAM involved. Procurement has some of those activities that they execute as a part of a similar SAM strategy, but everyone is aligned around licensing, inventory, and renewal managements. So in your words, what is SAM accountable for today in the enterprise?
So that's a great question, Corey. And I think it gets to the fundamental kind of the crux of who we are collectively as software asset managers and asset managers in general. Today, software asset managers are and should be responsible for either leading, spearheading, supporting, or evangelizing for the digital transformations of their companies. And what do I mean when I say that? It means that we have a collective responsibility, the 10 to 12,000 software asset managers that exist in the world, according to Forrester Research, is that we have this great nexus of where we sit between security, information technology, finance, procurement, where we can advocate for business value, unlike almost any other role that exists in either the enterprise or the SMB today. From a business value perspective, being able to go in and say, hey, we have these seven different products. If we rationalize these down to an N plus one strategy, we can pay 40% less, streamline our end user engagement, have an easier time for our service desk professionals to support the products in the enterprise, make it easier for people to know where to go to get what they need to do their job. And at the end of the day, drive value back into the enterprise through those cost savings that can be used to reinvest and deliver other transformational type activities for the company. And I don't think there's any other, you know, outside of sales who go out and get things done, there's not many other what we would traditionally call back office roles or cost center roles that are poised to deliver that kind of value to their enterprises And I think a lot of C-suite executives these days are waking up to, hey, this isn't a traditional back office role. There's the ability to go deliver value out of these type of roles. And if you look at it from an individual career perspective, somebody that's starting their asset management journey today, yeah, there's a lot of parts of this work that we can say, hey, maybe this could be automated, or we could leverage AI. But the asset managers that can both leverage automation and artificial intelligence to do their job better, all they will do is bring greater value to their enterprise. And that's the best thing you can do for your career, is to bring value to your company.
Yeah, I think you said that really, really well. Can you talk a little bit, maybe not specific to Salesforce, but just Sam in general, the role back in 2020 or even prior to that to now, how has that shifted? And has that become a closer alignment to the CIO and the CFO in general? What's that looked like over the last 5 to 10 years?
That's a great question, Corey, because I feel like 4 or 5 years ago, prior to that, software asset management and asset managers in general were either seen as order takers or a cost of compliance. There was, hey, we're managing our assets, we're making sure that we don't have significant levels of either business cost or security risk. And hey, we're paying for this because we kind of have to get our work done. Mm-hmm. Fast forward 4 years, which, by the way, I'm sure everybody else feels like the last 4 years have been 40 years. And then it also feels like it's been 4 days or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of crazy. But 4 years ago, I was only managing software asset management at Salesforce. A couple years ago, I was asked to take over all of asset management. So mobile, hardware, governance, compliance, and software sit in my purview. But I still believe that software has the greatest transformational capability out of anything in the asset management space today. Where we're at today and what we've seen is that software asset management is the way to unlock business value. Budgets are not going to continue to go up the way they were in the early days of the pandemic, where it was, hey, pay for anything, we don't care, whatever it takes to get people to do their jobs. That's not where we're at today. Anybody that follows the news knows that we've been through a significant journey over the last 18 months at Salesforce. And some of that has been, wait, how do we take a step back, understand what we have, what capabilities we really need, and then rationalize that to what we should have in the future? You know, our chief transformation officer, Sam Chung, has a saying that I love. I can't take credit for it, but he says, pretty much all enterprise software out there sucks at some level. So find the thing that does the most of what you need it to and cost the least, right? And so driving to get rid of like UI UX tools, pretty much everybody has like a dozen or more. But why not get down to 2? And then drive efficiencies and business value back into your company. And the asset managers that find ways to do that are the ones that are going to excel and get ahead.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Every conversation with you becomes inspirational to me. And it starts to kind of align within the SAM space around, I'd love your thoughts on this. It seems like there are 2 different personas in SAM today. There are those traditional personas of software asset management leaders that are managing audits and on-prem deployments and putting together effective license positions for renewals. And then there's the second, the newer group within software asset management that's tackling the SaaS space and tackling it head on and viewing software not differently between on-prem and SaaS, just viewing it as software with a different delivery model that needs to be solved for. Do you see that in the SAM market today?
Not only do I see that, but I feel like I live that on a daily basis, right? There is a dichotomy when it comes to looking at compliance-focused, traditional on-prem or license management and ELP delivery. And then there's, hey, there's this SaaS stuff. We don't really need ELPs because we can see our current license position in the portal at the drop of a hat. My belief is that it's not an either or. It's a yes and. You have to be able to deliver both of those, particularly today, where there are companies, especially if you're at the enterprise level, you still have a ton of legacy or heritage or whatever we want to call the traditional software model that grew out of a physical CD key that you had to catalog and keep in a drawer somewhere, to today where your ELP is literally just logging in and seeing what your portal says, right? And so it's not either or. You have to be able to do both effectively in order to manage your software portfolio. And it's finding that healthy tension and where in your specific company and your enterprise the low-hanging fruit and the largest value drivers are for your company that will bring value to you and your career and your company that they can either reinvest or return to stakeholders.
That's well put. I think you hit on a topic there that I want to draw on a little bit. You talked about effective license positions and really being able to log in for SaaS tooling and see the information in real time. What do you view as the primary differences between legacy heritage on-prem software strategies and SaaS software management as you are now operationalizing both of those internally at Salesforce?
From the heritage focus, my perspective is that that's a compliance and risk management activity. It's important. It has to be done. There is compliance risk of either an external audit or vendor audit that comes from defined license levels and deployment where the vendor doesn't have visibility 100% of the time to what you have deployed. Whereas when it comes to a SaaS platform, both you and the vendor know at all times what you have deployed and what licenses you have access to. So at that point, the focus for asset managers should not be on, oh, I'm maintaining compliance with my contract. It is, where are my opportunities to understand my usage and utilization models? So that if I have people that are using a high-priced software on a quarterly or biannual basis, that we're not letting those people occupy a seat for 12 months out of the year.
Right.
That we're either finding something else for them to use, or we're creating mechanisms internally, either through automation or through license management practices and license assignment practices, where we only give them the license where they need it. And we keep always being mindful of what our contractual obligations are to the vendor. But at the same time, it doesn't do either myself or the vendor any good to have somebody occupying a seat that's not receiving business value from the money that we're paying for that seat. And I think that's the fundamental crux of the discussion, is that we're paying for something, and if we're not receiving value for it, we shouldn't be paying for it. And we've had some difficult conversations with vendors over the last 18 months where we've said, hey, like, we know you see all these people that are logged in and have licenses assigned. And when we look at the usage and utilization data, they're not really getting the value out of X or Y percent of those seats. And we need to have some tough conversations about that, because it's also not great for the software vendor long-term in the marketplace if they just have people occupying seats as shelfware. And I think that's a discussion that I don't think has reached a significant portion of the SaaS market yet, that it's all about, let's focus on viral, let's get as many people in seats as we can, let's grow it organically. But if people are just occupying a seat just to charge for a license, that's not a healthy relationship for either the consumer or the vendor that is selling the seat.
Well put. I think there's sometimes a little bit of perception in the market, perception within the enterprise. I think we're seeing some of that perception shift, but some of that is, hey, well, we've already got asset management in place, so we should just be able to pick up SaaS and it should be easier. So let's just wrap this into our program and keep moving forward without really looking at the specialization that SaaS requires. So you at Salesforce have implemented a dedicated SaaS strategy. Why do you see a need for a SaaS-centric solution? And before you knew that you needed a SaaS management platform, what did you try?
That's a great question, Corey. And you've been around, you've been here when we've gone through an RFP for what our asset management platforms would look like. This is one of those yes and questions. You need to have both, because you have two fundamentally different types of software in your enterprise, and you need to be able to manage them both well. I think there's a question here about, where are you on your journey as an asset management organization? Do you work in a highly regulated industry that you need to have that legacy heritage on-prem nailed down so that you can minimize and show business risk when it comes to external auditors? Or are you at a company that's rapidly growing that is shifting its business model that is SaaS forward? There's not a one-size-fits-all answer here. It is really situationally dependent. I think the fastest way to business value is with a SaaS management platform. If you have an early stages or a nascent, like if you're looking at the maturity model and you're at a 0-1 or even an early stage 2 in a maturity model perspective, it probably makes sense to invest in a SaaS management platform first, because you're going to be able to show value realization to your executives on a much quicker time scale. And then you can use that to say, hey, this is why we also need to capture and manage on the other side. It's not an either, like an either or question. They're very complementary platforms. At the end of the day, the answer is you need to have both. And how you fit that into your specific situation is highly dependent on where you need to deliver business value and on what time frame.
What it sounds like you're articulating is this is a better together story with a traditional SAM solution and a SaaS management solution, Xylo, at Salesforce. Can you articulate at Salesforce what that looks like for you?
So here we have both, right? I'm not going to say names. Obviously, we have Xylo because I'm here today. But we do have a traditional on-prem software discovery and software asset management platform in-house, because we're at, I don't know what the accurate figure is we've reported to the street, but we're at 70,000 plus employees, 1.1 to 1.2 devices per end user, the whole fleet of enterprise software solutions, end user productivity tools, everything exists within our environment. And when I mean everything. Up until 18 months ago, we at Salesforce said, hey, we're the world's largest startup. Whatever software you need to do your job, go out and buy it. And I can't even begin to articulate how difficult that is as an asset manager to work in that environment. We've come a long way over the last 18 months where we have a application rationalization strategy, we have a roadmap, we have a software governance council. We've started to really drive towards an N plus one strategy across all of our fleet of software, complicated by M&A, of course, always is. But really, it's like you said, it's a better together story. You can't do it only with either. And it's incumbent on us and our responsibility as asset managers to be able to show the business value to our leadership teams that, hey, you should and need to have both of these in order to deliver a performant asset management organization for your enterprise.
If you're not unlocking the full value of your SaaS, what are you doing? There is no denying it. SaaS is mission critical to your company's growth and success. And as the number two operating expense for most organizations, it's your biggest opportunity to save money and drive efficiency. The time is now to do something about it. Join me and your fellow IT, SAM, finance, and procurement leaders at SaaSME. SaaSME is the industry's only dedicated SaaS management event where you can sharpen your skills, hear from your peers, and learn how to unlock value and responsible business growth through smarter SaaS management. Register today at SaaSME.com. That's SaaSME.com.
You know, I think when we've talked to SAM leaders historically, they'll always talk about the need for great data to be able to understand not only what the expenses are around the organization, but how those tools are being leveraged and then centrally tracking all the metadata around that. So as you think about the actions that you take for on-prem versus cloud, how are the actions that you take within Xylo different than what you would take or anyone would take out of a legacy SAM tool? And is that all centered around the data?
It's 100% centered around the data. And I don't want anybody to think that we have this 100% figured out at Salesforce. We are on our maturity journey. We're not at a 5. We're not at a 4. We're somewhere probably around a low 3. But what we do know is that we're on a journey and we want to figure that out. And so when we look at what actions and activities we want to leverage the platform for, we tend to, and this isn't 100% all the time, but we tend to leverage the our internal software discovery tools in a more reactionary manner, where we say, hey, we have either an audit or we have security has come to us and said, hey, what does this look like? That it is a push-pull request basis. when it comes to what we're leveraging that for, or we use it directly for a renewal prep at the 6, 5, 4 month markers out from a renewal. When it comes to the SaaS management platform, it's a much more proactively focused tool in that we're saying on a monthly basis, what does our usage look like? Is our user base up or down? How are we looking for the percentage of users that have actually logged into the platform this month? Again, we come back to the yes and better together story.
Yeah.
But from a SaaS management platform perspective, it really is focused more on the proactive activities. And I think as asset managers, we all know intrinsically that if we're working in the proactive space versus the reactive space, we are setting ourselves up for future success. And I like to tell my team this, it's like, what are you doing today to make your job easier tomorrow? And a SaaS management platform, unlike pretty much any other platform that exists out there, it is really a critical tool in the tool belt to make your job easier tomorrow. So tomorrow you looks back and says, man, I'm really glad I did that yesterday. Not, I wish I had done that yesterday.
Yeah. You, BT, Sam at Salesforce, your organization, you're a little bit of a unicorn because you're accountable for over $100 million in total spend. Many of the applications that are centrally governed at Salesforce are centrally governed by your team. So as you think about the apps that are under ownership by BT internally in IT, how do you measure them? What is good? As you look at the utilization of these applications and you look at the sprawl of applications, you've got an accountability for those core solutions that drive business at Salesforce. How do you evaluate those when you look at spend and when you look at utilization and usage of those tools?
This is one of those things where there's not a kind of discrete, easy answer. It's really difficult and it sometimes comes down to per platform metrics. And again, this is one of those things that we're still in the, like, we have the growing pains in this space, right? And it's like, there's not a one size fits all solution across heritage, on-prem apps, SaaS apps. It really comes down to the discrete licensing model for each platform. You have some things, like if you look at incentive compensation planning, where everybody that's in the user pool has to have access to that. And the usage and utilization may not be as important because if a salesperson needs to see what their incentive compensation looks like, they need to have access no matter what, right?
Yep.
Whereas if you're looking at a platform that's like digital or collaborative whiteboarding, maybe there's a differentiated persona where there's some folks that update compliance documents on a quarterly basis. And there's some folks that use it for Ignite or design sessions on a daily or weekly basis with customers. Mm-hmm. And it's understanding, really getting down to the nitty-gritty of what are the personas and what are the stakeholder use cases that drive value for your individuals that you want to understand so that then you can manage the licensing pool in an effective way for all of those individuals. And if you can't suss out that differentiated value stream between the different user bases of a tool, because there are, we tend to think as asset managers, it's like, I'm going to look at a chat tool, either Slack or Teams or Google Chat. It's just being used for people to talk to each other. But actually, some people are talking to customers. Some people are using it for workflows. And it's what do the differentiated personas look like? What are the value streams for those stakeholders? And then understanding when and where to pull back licensing based on the individual value stream, making those art and science calls is where you can drive value back into your business.
Makes a ton of sense. Picking up on an earlier comment that you made, Salesforce has been historically very acquisitive. I've even heard some rumblings in the news recently as well. But how do you, you're a big part of that. You could speak to this a little bit, but you're a big part of acquired entities at Salesforce. How do you drive your SaaS strategy for onboarding companies or acquiring companies year over year?
So that's a great question. And not that I have any visibility into what's coming on the M&A roadmap. I find out when it hits the news. That's when I find out when we're acquiring somebody. So when it comes to M&A, it's both a pain point and an opportunity. One, it's an opportunity to understand, are some of these software titles potentially better than what we have? And I think that's one thing that we don't ever talk about really well when it comes to M&A and acquired companies is that sometimes there may be a software tool that's in your acquired company that's better than what you have. And you should be open to having those conversations. It doesn't mean that you allow for 24, 36 months of multiple or dueling tools or titles in a category, but it means you should ask the whys and be curious at the start. And then I'd be lying if I said it was easy. Acquired company integration is probably one of the most difficult things that companies will do, particularly when it comes to the software stack. And I look at where we've come 5-6 years ago, Salesforce was like, hey, we're going to acquire these companies and they can run whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. So we had to deal and manage and handle all of those things as we move forward. But today it's very much, how do we gracefully move an acquired entity into our standard procedures, process, platforms, and tools in a way that's respectful to the journey that they're on? The key part there is respectful, because we've all seen in our careers that it's like, sometimes there's an acquisition, it's like, thou shalt conform. And there's no kindness or empathy that's granted to the difficulty that somebody who's at an acquired company is going through a transition in their career where they don't know, hey, am I going to have a job tomorrow? What is my job going to look like? Am I going to work for somebody new? There's so much going on there that we can help as asset managers in the transition, bring folks over to a new organization and say, hey, maybe the tools that you will use to do your job may change over the coming months, but we're here to support you and make sure that the tools that you do get will help you get your job done. And we're committing to make that happen.
That's very well put as well. With a quick look at your specific Salesforce journey, you mentioned it earlier, 2023 to 2024, Sam feels like it's very much in the spotlight. And like probably everyone listening today, cost optimization is a focus. It began a couple of years ago in the innovation space where growth shift moved to efficiency and profitability, and that has rippled through every vertical and every industry. So probably everyone on the line today is saying, in some way, shape, or form, I'm accountable and I'm closer to the strategy of our business than I've ever been before. Can you talk about that shift at Salesforce and what kind of opportunity that is bringing to you and your team, your career in the industry overall? What does this shift look like as it relates directly to Sam in the enterprise?
So first off, Corey, that may be the best question you've asked all day, particularly for the audience that we have here as career asset managers. Salesforce, we love to talk about the fourth industrial revolution, right? Like, hey, it's the fourth industrial revolution. We're actually really there right now with the rise of not just machine learning, but with ChatGPT, the AI models that we're seeing today, there has been no greater opportunity as an asset manager to drive business value into your enterprise than there exists today. When I started in asset management at Salesforce, I came from desktop support. I actually was in an asset management role, came to Salesforce and desktop support because it was the employer of choice here in Indianapolis, and thought, you know, this is a step back in my career, but we all know careers zigzag. Sometimes to get better opportunity, you move laterally. And when I joined the SAM team, there were three of us. And all we were managing was a couple on-prem apps and the Microsoft EA. And today, we are accountable for all of the business technology software spend. We run and manage the monthly software governance council, which is responsible for making sure that our forward-looking strategy when it comes to applications that we're bringing into the enterprise or renewing is aligned with our business focus. And really, when I look at the landscape, even though we've had all this, like all of this energy and all this opportunity over the last 5 to 7, 8 years, there's still more opportunity today than there ever has been. And I'm telling you, if you as an asset manager are not using AI tools to ask questions about, like, what are the products in this category and what are their compare and contrast? Things that we used to have to do manually that would take hours or days, and you can get a quick answer and then validate. There are so many opportunities to differentiate yourself as an asset management professional today that didn't exist. And I know I'm kind of rambling because I get excited about this because there's so much opportunity in our space today. And I know there, this doesn't apply really to SaaS management tooling, but there's a lot of salespeople out there in the SaaS space that don't want you as an asset manager to leverage those tools because they have a boat payment on the line. And you know what? Your fiduciary duty, your value that you bring as a thought leader in your space to your enterprise can be leveraged upwards multiple times over by leveraging those tools. And there's no, there literally has never been an opportunity to be more transformational for your enterprise than there is today when it comes to being a SaaS and asset management professional.
Fully agree with that. Very well stated. Jason, the size and scale of what you've implemented, being on the leading edge of how software management is evolving, taking on more challenges as they come, really being an example of the SAM team that has the most responsibility that I've seen across industries in my experience, it's inspiring not only to hear that, but also to hear the passion in your voice around operationalizing software management for the large enterprise. We are incredibly lucky to have you as a partner here. I really appreciate you jumping in today, Jason.
Thanks, Corey. And I'd be remiss if I didn't call, like, I'm not here doing this by myself. I'd be 100% remiss if I didn't call out Piyush Khatri, who owns our SAM program, Pratik Sharma, Martin Brophy. We're so fortunate. Their whole teams, we have 20 software asset management professionals here at Salesforce. They're the ones that do the work on a daily basis. They get excited. They deliver the art and science. And without them, I wouldn't be here talking to you. So a huge thanks to them and the entire team. And thanks for the opportunity to share the good word about what software asset management and SaaS management platform can do in an enterprise.
Did you enjoy the episode? Pass it along to your friends. Subscribe to get notifications for the latest episode. Share your favorite takeaways and join the conversation on social media using hashtag SaaSMeUnfiltered.